Some more good news to start the week, next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
As always, Barry, it's good to be back with you after Thanksgiving. I don't know about you. We had a fine Thanksgiving. I saw my mom. She came up for a rare trip up north. She lives in Florida and came up. Of course, Thanksgiving Day, it was about 60 degrees, and the next day we had snow. So she got a little reminder of what the weather's like in Ohio.
Well, you can't ask for better. You know, one day you've got 60, the next day you've got snow flurries. You can get just about everything in central Ohio. But the one thing, Chuck, you can't get yet in Ohio that we might be able to get in that state up north, and yes, although I know that Ohio State did win the big ball game against Michigan over the weekend, we still call it that state up north, but the legislature in the state of Michigan, Chuck, is doing something what I consider to be rather interesting, rather novel kind of approach to this issue, and one that I believe might actually have quite a bit of merit, and I'm hoping that possibly some of our Ohio legislators coming into the upcoming session that we'll be moving into next month or in January will consider and think about. And what they're doing, they've got two bills that they have introduced into the Michigan Assembly, House Bill 5684 and House Bill 5685. So these are two companion bills. And these bills are ones that are tax issues, Chuck. And normally we don't talk much about tax issues unless it's the federal government trying to tax us more. But this is a very different approach because this approach says that in Michigan, if these bills pass, that if you are expecting a child, yes, that's right, if you get pregnant and you're expecting a child, you can claim your unborn child as a deduction on your state income tax. Now, Chuck, in Michigan, that is up to a $3,700 deduction for a child in the state of Michigan. I think this is a pretty interesting, very positive, very pro-life approach to understanding that having a child does cost money.
Well, it costs a lot of money. Having had three children and having done it the old-fashioned way with an OBGYN in a hospital, yes, it was not cheap, and I was insured at the time, but it still cost me money out of pocket. And what's interesting about that, the reason you get a deduction for your children is because, frankly, especially the first year, it's expensive. You have to buy this, that, and another thing. You know, the unfortunate thing about the last kid in line is they get all the hand-me-downs from the first kid that was all new. But that being said, you know, $3,700 toward an unborn child would be a big boon to those parents who are having a child within a given time period. And the fact is that to help defray those costs, that would be a wonderful help, because I can remember wondering sometimes where we were going to get the money for this, that, or another thing. You know, some of the, especially as brand new parents, you know, you never know what to expect. You don't know for sure what's coming down the pike. The next two were a lot easier. You knew what expenses you were going to get hit with. You knew what diapers cost by that time. You knew what the baby food and the formula and that kind of thing. Now, I was lucky in that through all my kids' births, I worked for an infant formula company. So I got formula when our kids needed it for a fraction of the cost because we bought it in the company store. But that being said, the parents that choose to go to formula feed rather than breastfeed, it's expensive. Yeah. You know, $3-5 a can. So,
and not to mention the cost of diapers, the cost of all your other baby essentials. There are a lot of expense to having a baby, and we're not saying that because we're trying to dissuade anybody from having children, but we're saying that it's good to see that some people are thinking clearly in the Michigan legislature, and these bills are sponsored by two Republican representatives, Lisa Posthumous Lyons and Representative Judd Gilbert, who are both Republicans from Michigan, and they've written into the bill, Chuck, to make sure that, you know, everything's on the up and up and it's legitimate, that the parent can claim the unborn child as a deduction only if they can show that the mother and child have been under a doctor's care from the time the baby was about 12 weeks of age in the womb till the end of the tax year. So in other words, they definitely want this to be a situation where the parents are planning on keeping the child. You know, that's, I know that some automatically would say, well, it would be easy for somebody to claim the tax deduction and then abort the baby. They're trying to avoid that situation. by basically saying that, you know, you have to show, and of course you show that through your records or through your payment to the doctor's office, that you are under a doctor's care at that time frame during that tax year. And once you qualify, then it's $3,700 deduction. Now, the other part of this is it's really not an incredible stretch of the imagination, because Michigan already gives a deduction for the already born child of $3,700. So why not do it for the child who is in the womb, who's already been conceived, who's already a living being? And yeah, they'll probably fight that fight out in the legislature. But this would make a lot of sense.
Oh, absolutely makes sense. I can remember as a young parent wondering why I didn't get a deduction for the expenses of bringing a new life into the world, because it was so expensive. And the fact is, I think I had a firmer grasp on why tax policy was the way it was and why it is the way it is. The reason that you reward people for having children is it's because, let's face it, Barry, it's good for society to have children. Now,
yes,
we've got conflicting messages out there, but the firm message, I frankly wish we had more children, Jenny and I. And our first child was not born until Jenny was just after her 33rd birthday. And I wish we'd started earlier. However, there were other reasons having to do with fertility issues why we didn't start earlier. And I was in school. I didn't graduate till I was 32 years old. I don't know what I'd have done if we'd had a baby and I was still trying to finish up my senior year in college, although it's done all the time. So, you know, it can be done. But what I'm saying is that right now we did a talk the other day. If you remember one of our shows, we talked about what the birth rate is. It's down around 1.9. I think that was the number. Well, 2.1 is replacement rate. In other words, to replace the same number of people
right.
that are dying off, you have to have 2.1 children or 2.1 children per family, and we're down to 1.9 children per family. Well, that means that our normal population is dying off. Now, virtually all the entire reason why people are restricting themselves to 1.9 to that many children per family is the fact that it's expensive. And people want to have big screen TVs and smartphones and computers and that kind of stuff. And they're not willing to make the sacrifice of those luxuries. They want to drive a $40,000 SUV and that kind of thing. They don't want to make the sacrifice of those luxuries in order to have the kids. Not realizing that once you begin as a society to not replace the population, that is dangerous, because all of a sudden you have to open the borders to maintain your population density. And the reason in this country that we have to do that, have to have our borders open, is because we have a Ponzi scheme for our medical care in the Medicare and in the Social Security realm. You have to have the population continually growing because you have we suddenly have a population bulge at the older end of the scale. And a lot of the baby boomers are now beginning to retire and they want full Social Security benefits. A lot of them lost a lot of their money in the last crash. They lost a lot of their retirement money. I lost a lot of retirement money, too, in the last crash. And the fact is that the only way to make things continue to work with the welfare state is to keep the population base growing. And you can't do that under the replacement rate, and therefore we have the borders wide open. People don't seem to understand that particular relationship. And the fact is that these Michigan people, now, their primary reason, they say, is to give economic help back to the families. And in Michigan, believe me, families need economic help, as a former Michigander. But also, what's going on there is it's a tacit admission that the unborn are children. And,
well,
that
is something, you brought that up, but that's something that the Democrats in the Michigan legislature are already screaming about these two bills, basically afraid that it would give legal status to unborn children and thus affect a woman's right to an abortion. Now, you know, Chuck, I hate using that term because a woman does not have a right to an abortion, because
exactly.
You do not have a right to kill somebody else for your own convenience, especially when that person is wholly separate from the mother, with separate DNA, with a separate circulatory, respiratory system, brain activity. The list could go on and on, Chuck. It's a separate human being. And basically, this bill recognizes that fact and recognizes that wanting to bring a new life into the world and thus help our civilization not go into that dark night, as we're not replacing or being taken over with, you know, the open border issue, that it's a good thing to encourage your state residents to be fruitful and multiply and to give a break. Now, again, like I said, this, they're already giving this break to children who are already born. So the number of children that this really, or couples that this really impacts, is not very huge, Chuck, because if you think about it, you have to be at least 12 weeks in before the end of the tax year for this to apply. So for those folks to conceive after October, they have to wait till the next tax year. For those folks who conceive prior to that, or let's say conceive in the first 3 months of the year, well, you're probably going to have the live child before the end of the tax year. So those 3 months. So basically, this is only affecting a group that's about a six-month window from about March, April to about September, October. And the legislative analysts in Michigan are calculating that may cost between $5 and $10 million a year to reduce state tax revenues. However, I wonder if they've even taken the moment to think about or to do some calculations that if this increases the birth rate in Michigan by X percentage, how much more tax revenue, sales tax revenue, does that bring in from the purchase of those things we talked about, such as diapers and formula and infant preparations and medicines and food and car seats and cribs and blankets and all the cute little blue and pink clothing? I think that probably if you did a deeper analysis, you might find that reduction in state tax revenues of $5 and $10 million might actually roll over to the local governments as an increase in the sales tax revenues.
Yeah, as long as it increases the birth rate, that, you know, I'm sure there's a trade-off place, but the fact is, if you can significantly increase the birth rate, you would significantly increase the population of Michigan, which frankly is rather, Michigan has a rather low population density. You know, everybody looks at Michigan and thinks in terms of Detroit. Well, as an ex-Michigan resident, I can tell you there are places in northern Michigan where you can drive for 20 minutes and not see anything. You can drive and drive and drive and drive. You get onto that route up north into the Upper Peninsula, and there are places where you just drive. It's absolutely beautiful open country, and there's nothing there. So Michigan has the land to support a much higher population density, and generally speaking, higher population densities mean more people, which means more business. And more business means more revenue.
Yep, that's exactly it.
Now, that's if the government isn't in there doing their best to make sure, and when I say the government, I mean the federal government, isn't in there digging around doing their best to make sure that people are now only going to get 28 hours, because any more time than that, and suddenly you're a quote-unquote full-time employee and must be provided with free health care.
Yes, of
well,
course.
Well, what we're about to see with that particular monkeying around with the economy is a whole lot of people who suddenly find themselves with two part-time jobs.
That's exactly right. And you're going to see that maybe two or more part-time jobs, just because as many companies are going to be going that direction because they can't afford the health care coverage.
Yeah, exactly. And let's face it, this kind of a thing would be a great boon to young families who suddenly find themselves unable to find full-time employment.
Yes, it would, as a matter of fact. It would be a great offset to some of the things that have already been put in place and are coming from our federal government, even from some of our state governments. Chuck, I believe that anytime we can encourage the increase of children and we can help families who are struggling, it's a good thing. It's the reason why I hope that this bill not only passes in Michigan, but some of our state legislators here in the state of Ohio will take a look at this and say, you know, we could do that here. I think that's a very good thing. Because, and the other point I see about this, Chuck, and I know we're about to run out of time, but if you're tagging this qualification to get this tax deduction to the parent, the mother, and her unborn child being under doctor's care from 12 weeks in the womb on, you're probably going to reduce the incidences of low birth weight babies, of stillbirths, of miscarriages because of a lack of proper care during that prenatal period.
Well, maybe the Institute for Principal Policy needs to look into pushing this as some legislation we need to look at in Ohio.
You're already going down that road thinking of people who I may be approaching on this.
There you go. Well, that being said, we're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.